Hello and welcome to Traders Corner. My name is Sameh Zak. I'm joined by Garth McKenzie, who is the founder and editor of Traders Corner. Garth, thank you so much for joining us once again. So we're starting off with a look at the S&P 500 and how it's been reversing of late.
Yes, that's right, Sameh. Hi. We've got a chart of the S&P 500 up on the screen at the moment. I've had a look at this over the last couple of weeks, and I'm just refreshing it because it's important to note that this market has held its 200-day moving average support over the last few weeks. You can see that red line at the bottom end of the chart is the 200-day moving average. And I've highlighted over the past 2 weeks that the fact that that level has held likely looks as if it's going to move higher. And I'd said all along there was a gap up here at 2710, and that would be an initial target for the market to go to and probably fill that gap, and then we would see from there. Now, it has been up. It's filled that gap. Last week, it made a little bit of a reversal down off of this downward trend that you can see. That downtrend goes all the way back to January of this year before we saw the big crack in the market that happened into early February. So that downtrend joins all the high points since then. And it comes in at around about 2720, thereabouts. So far, the market's turned down off of that resistance level. But we'll need to see now whether it manages to consolidate and find its feet and then ultimately push out above that resistance area, or whether it's going back down towards the recent lows back below 2600. My sense is that at this stage, it's difficult to say, but I expect we'll see more consolidation in the near term and then perhaps an attempt to break out above that downward trend and then potentially target the next gap in the chart, which is a 2750, and beyond that then 2800 becomes the next round figure that the market would potentially target to the upside. Mm.
All right, so that's the S&P 500. Let's bring that back to the local front, taking a look at the JSE Top 40. How is that faring?
Yeah, the top 40 also looks fairly similar in some respects to that S&P 500 chart that I've just shown you a moment ago. Again, we've got a downtrend resistance which joins all the high points since January of this year. You can see how the market peaked out at about 55,000 there in January. Then we had another peak in mid-March. And over the last few days, the top 40 has rallied up and it's tested the underside of that resistance line, which comes in at approximately 51,500. It got there with precision and then turned down and reversed lower. Now, over the past couple of days, the market has been very, very lethargic. It just seems to be an incredibly quiet time of the year at the moment, and locally we know with school holidays and lots of public holidays coming up, this time of the year is rather dull and quiet. A lot of people take a break, but it's not just here. Funnily enough, the US markets last night had their quietest session of the year for 2018. So it's not just us that's quiet. It's actually, it seems like globally things are a little bit dull at the moment. So in terms of our top 40 index, as I say, it is rather lethargic, but the key levels to watch from a resistance perspective, that 51,500, as I mentioned, was the resistance that held last week and the market turned down from that area. Then to the downside, we've got some support which comes in at 50,600, and below that there's quite a strong lateral area of support at 50,200. So for the moment, I think let's monitor the market, see how it behaves at those support levels in this current phase of consolidation that we find ourselves in. If it manages to hold, say, the 50,200 support and reverse up off there, then perhaps it has an attempt to break through that downtrend resistance. But at the moment, it's a bit of a 50-50, I suppose. It could go either way from this point on.
So you've said, it's been a bit of a dull and quiet news cycle in the market, but what's been topical at the moment is the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield.
That's right. The U.S. 10-year Treasury is something I've flagged a couple of times on the show this year, and I've said that it's something we're going to need to watch very, very closely because a lot hinges on U.S. yields, and we've been in a bond bull market for 35 years, but it looks as if that is coming to an end, and we're now starting to see a situation where we may be at the early stages of a potential bond bear market in the US specifically. Now, this is a chart of the US 10-year Treasury yield. Now, that's the yield or the coupon that you receive or that you receive on a US 10-year Treasury note, a bond effectively. And you can see that the yield has been rising for as long as that chart is open, which is a year, but it's been rising for longer than that. And when the bond yield rises, that implies that bond prices are falling. But it also talks to interest rates and it talks to the cost of money and what have you. So why it's significant is that we believe we're in an area of rising interest rates now, particularly for the U.S. That in a sense, that becomes like a headwind for the market because your borrowing costs become more expensive. So there's a very, very close eye being watched on the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield this year. There was a huge level at 2.63% that was broken earlier in the year, and that was the main level that broke a 35-year downward trend in the bond yield. And now it looks as if that trend has turned. So the fact that it's now consolidated over the last 2 or 3 months, as you can see in that what looks a bit like a bull flag type of pattern on this chart, is that's a healthy consolidation. Now it's broken out to the upper end of that pattern. And the 10-year Treasury note is closing in on the 3% yield, which is a significant psychological level. It is also a big technical level, but it's particularly a psychological level. And we watch this very, very closely because, as I say, rising bond yields in the U.S., ultimately, if they rise enough, they do become a headwind for equity markets.
Yeah. But what's the impact been on the currency markets?
Well, so we'll look at the U.S. dollar index here first, and then we'll take that back to our local market where we look at the rand dollar. But the U.S. dollar index is interesting. It's had a strong move over the last couple of days. Now, this index is a basket of currencies measured against the U.S. dollar, predominantly, all, in fact, developed market currencies. So the euro-dollar pair is the most significant weighting in this, but then it's also made up of the dollar pound, the Swiss franc, the Canadian dollar, the Swedish krona, and the yen is the other one that makes up this dollar index. And what you see over there is that this index has been tracking mostly sideways since January, really. But over the last few days, we've had this fairly swift move to the upside in the value of the US dollar index. And that implies dollar strengthening. And that also talks to the previous slide where we've seen the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield rising. What it effectively means is that you can earn more on your dollar if you're investing it in U.S. Treasuries now based on the fact that the yield has moved higher. So that does tend to attract dollars into, attract funds into the U.S. bond market to some extent to chase that yield. But the other thing, and I think perhaps this is more of a factor driving the dollar at the moment, is the fact that the U.S. dollar short has been a very, very crowded trade for a number of months where, broadly speaking, there's just a swathe of short positions in the U.S. dollar, expecting it to continue weaker as it has been for the last 18 months or so. The dollar's been trending weaker. And when you find that everybody's stacked on the same side of the boat like that, it does tend to often result in a fairly aggressive move in the opposite direction. And I think what we're possibly seeing here is some short covering on U.S. dollar positions as a result of that technical break that we saw in the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield, and hence you're seeing a dollar move stronger. Now, if we convert that or take that in the context of our market, our currency, the rand dollar, here you can see a fairly recent chart of the rand dollar exchange rate, basically just for the year 2018 to date. And what's evident here is that it seems as if we do have a little bit of a saucer-bottom pattern forming here for the time being. The strength that we saw in the currency from November, December, and January was following the election of Cyril Ramaphosa as the president of the ANC and then ultimately the president of the country, and all the optimism that has come on the back of that. I think that's largely been digested now, and you see that the currency is not really strengthening anymore. It seems to have found a level where it's quite content to sit around. But interesting to note that over the last 2 days, you've seen quite significant rand weakness coming into play here. The currency was in a range between 11 rand 90 up to 12 rand 10, and you can see it tracking that range there for about 2 weeks. And now all of a sudden, we've seen a move out above 12 rand 10. That is a bullish move for the dollar, or bearish move for the rand. And it points to a target of 12 rand 50 from a technical perspective. We take this, what is looks like a bit of a cup and handle type of pattern over there. You take the break out from that neckline at 12 rand 10, and you take the distance of that tallest part of the structure, and you project that upwards. And it gives you a measured target of approximately 12 rand 50. So based on this chart, I expect it's probably going towards that area, towards 12.50. And if the rand does begin to strengthen back a little bit and consolidate, I think the 12 rand 10 area is likely to be fairly strong support on this chart, where it'll probably take some doing for the currency to break back below that level. Based on this, I would almost think that a pullback to 12.10 gives you an opportunity to buy dollars if you're wanting to invest offshore.
Okay. Let's take a look at some of the recent trades. In particular, we're looking at Sanlam, which hasn't worked out as well as you'd hoped.
No, it hasn't. Unfortunately, it's been a very slow mover, and I've decided this week to cut it. Last week on the show, I spoke about the potential of using a time stop loss to exit this trade and just walk away because it's taking too long for it to work out. I generally like trades that work out off the bat. Those are often the best trades, I find. We went into this one about 3 weeks ago for a couple of reasons. The main reason was that the stock or the company did a massive accelerated book build where they sold 5.7 billion rands worth of new shares into the market to raise capital to fund the acquisition of the remaining part of a business called Saham, which is an African short-term insurance business. And you saw that share price coming under pressure. The new shares were placed at 87 Rand, and typically these things do provide an opportunity to buy into the oversold reaction. The share then did pay a dividend of 2 Rand 90, which is that second gap in the chart over there, but that's not an issue for us. We receive that dividend through the CFD position that we're holding. So what it essentially means is that the dividend means we can adjust our entry price down, we can adjust our target and our stop loss, and everything comes down by the 2 Rand 90 dividend. Now, what concerns me slightly is that the share price now appears as if it's broken out the lower end of a rising wedge pattern here. And I suspect it's maybe going to go and have another visit at the 200-day moving average. And yeah, maybe at some stage after that it gets going. But for the moment, it's frustrating. I'm sitting for 3 weeks with this trade and it's not working. So I've decided to exit. I've exited higher than our stop loss level. Basically using a time stop loss here. I've sold out at 80 Rand and 3 cents, and that means that we've lost 2,278 Rand here. So not the end of the world by any means, but frustrating nevertheless. Yeah. But you know, sometimes you've just got to move on and find something else to do.
Let's take a very quick look at the local and offshore portfolios as they stand at the moment.
Yeah, so our local portfolio, rather, is 6.1% to the good for the year to date. So it's looking okay. It's been better during the course of the year. We've had two losses in a row in the form of Sanlam now and previous to that ShopRite, but still up nevertheless 6.1% for the year to date. And then on our offshore portfolio, those are the trades that we've done for this year to date. We are still in a put options position on Tesla. I still think that stock has potentially got downside to come. So we're still there. That portfolio is up 1.3% for the year to date. So certainly not shooting the lights out, but we monitor that Tesla put options structure very carefully.
Okay. And then in terms of subscription, where can viewers get more info on there?
Yeah, if you go to traderscorner.co.za, you go to the middle of the page here, you can sign up for a free weekly email that we then send you every Tuesday detailing what will come up on the show for that week. So go there, enter your details. It'll take you a minute or two to enter all of your details, sign up, and it's pretty simple. And then you'll hear from us every Tuesday at about lunchtime.
Good place to leave. Thank you so much. And that's where we leave this week's episode of Traders Corner. Till next time, goodbye.